Good afternoon, human beings, clever monkeys in the cyberspace that is the World Wide Web. This is your good friend, Uncle Dan in Little Saigon with the window closed and the fan off. And like the boiling water reactor at Fukushima in 2011, I have lost power to my cooling device. And my control rods are about to melt. Yeah, so it's Thursday. It is September the 5th, 2019. I hope you guys are doing great. I don't know what to tell you. I'm currently looking for my next gig as far as the gig economy goes, but I've got a little bit of cushion. And yeah, I got a little bit of cushion in my tushin. Yeah, so I've got a little bit of cushion, so I'm not too stressed out. And added to the fact that I really think there are so many bigger things to worry about at this point in human history. It's one of the reasons why I couldn't work at Microsoft any longer. I had made enough money to buy myself about that 6 or 7 months, and frankly, at this point, that's about how far ahead I kind of look. I don't know that there's much of a future beyond that. It isn't to say that there is no future, but it is very unstable at this point. And any number of things could happen. We are quite literally in a Murphy's Law time. Anything that can happen will happen. And it's something to take into consideration. You know, often we get caught up in our daily crap and we don't think about, you know, maybe calling a family or friend who... Fuck, Glimbus.
Hello, Dan.
Hello, Glimbus.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great, Glimbus, you fuck.
This is Glimbus 12.
I know. This is Glimbus 12.
I am the most advanced food preparation robot ever designed.
Oh, wow. That's great.
I'm awesome, Dan.
I know. You're really special, Glimbus.
Say something, I stand.
You have a really pretty mouth, Glimbus.
Fuck you, Dan.
Fuck you, Glimbus.
Burn in hell and have a nice evening.
Oh, you too. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you too, Glimbus. Goodbye. I even forget the train of thought I was on, and Glimbus decides to call me. You know, my trans-dimensional hyperlight telephone is always on. I usually screen my calls beyond metaphysical level 13. But Glimbus is metaphysical level 12. In the year 2043, the artificial intelligence experts figure out that you just really can't create a fully functional being using just bits and pieces of machinery. So they begin experimenting with the hybridization of, well, frankly, the brains of tiny French bulldogs. Though that's redundant, French bulldogs are tiny little budgie glumbuses. And so in reality, Glimbus 12 is half robot. And Glimbus 12 is technically half French bulldog psyche. And as such, Glimbus 12 is the perfect artificial intelligence approximation as being half French bulldog, psychically speaking, and half robot of a neocon. If you want to know what a neocon is like that Bolton fuck or Pompeo or the whole fucking Bush family that's still alive somewhere in Antarctica. Yeah, the best approximation to the functioning brain of a neoconservative is 50% psyche of a French bulldog, and the rest is all robot. And that's Glimbus. And so we're always happy when Glimbus picks up the hyperdimensional phone and calls us, just like we're happy when that fuck Beans, you know, decides to tune in. But right now is demon radio time for all French bulldogs, so Beans is busy. Busy with his owners. Busy thinking about who he's going to plant an egg in next. I've told you the story of how the French bulldog reproduces. It's worth revisiting. The French bulldog reproduces in a most magical, amazing, spectacular kind of way. French bulldog will insert an egg into the mouth of a human being while it's sleeping. The egg attaches itself to the stomach lining and is undetectable by any human technology. You can even do one of those CT scans or PET scans or super advanced gamma ray laser scans. The French bulldog inserts its egg into your mouth and the egg crawls down to your stomach and plants itself. And for the rest of your life, you'll live out your years. You might not notice except for the extra farting. And so, yeah, the French bulldog lays that egg in your mouth and the egg plants itself in your stomach lining. And every Halloween, and this is after you die, so you live a life, you live a normal life with a French bulldog egg in your stomach. But don't worry, other than the extra farting, you'll be fine. You might even live a few years longer. Who the fuck knows? But what I can tell you is every Halloween as the sun sets beyond the horizon, every Halloween, you can visit your favorite local cemetery. You go to Halloween near midnight every year and watch closely the graves, the plots of those you love who are gone far away and own French bulldogs. But you must observe the first year after the death of the French bulldog owner. It's the only way you can be sure. Can you see in the distance in this dark graveyard the little French bulldogs like puffy little cicadas crawling out of the ground? Can you hear their howling in the Halloween night? You can hear the French bulldogs on Halloween night, the newly born howl, the ancient scream of a newly born French bulldog as it looks up at an angry dark sky and realizes that it is nothing but the final regret of an ancient evil gone bad. And the little French bulldogs scurry away. You can see them scurrying away in the darkness. They scurry away from the cemetery towards places where people, unsuspecting people, will see a little French bulldog and feel so much pity for this terrible little creature that they invite them into their home. Yeah, so anyways, I don't know why I felt like discussing the life cycle of the French bulldog, but as you must know, they cannot reproduce like any kind of normal creature. It's why we're not really sure what a French bulldog really is. We're fairly certain that it's less than 1% dog. Like, what we can be certain about with the French bulldog is it's less than 1% dog. But what makes up the other 99%? Is it raccoon? Is it hermit crab? Is it rat? Is it skunk? Is it slug? Is it some type of weird ass bird that you never heard about? Is it a stomach parasite? We don't know. We don't know what makes up the rest of beans, but I'll tell you one thing, like a platypus, it lays eggs. And like a platypus, it doesn't really look or fit in any kind of model. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look right. And like the platypus, it might have a poisonous stinger. We really don't know. So be careful with the French bulldog, folks. I'm just saying. Anyways, first real topic. I'm gonna tell you guys something, and you're gonna say, "Dan, you're being a dick." But you really need to listen to what I'm about to say, because this is a little piece of nuggety information that comes from the world of technology. And here's the deal, folks. This isn't one experience. This isn't one contract. This isn't one fucking company. This is everywhere. What you need to understand is that in the world of technology, there's a lot of social promotion now. There's a lot of incompetence. There's a lot of people at the top who have no business being there, and a lot of people writing code who have no business doing that. And the reason why these people are writing the code has nothing to do with skill. It has nothing to do with any type of professional competence. It has everything to do with some sort of weird social justice agenda. And this is everywhere. It's not just Microsoft. It's not just Amazon. It's not just Google. It's every fucking company in technology. I'm making this point because I often talk to people and they'll think, "Oh, it must be great working at Microsoft with all those smart people." And my only response is, "Do you know what the fuck you're talking about?" Yeah, there's some smart people at Microsoft. There are some real, dingbats too. And for the life of me, I don't know which is in greater proportion, like which you'll find more of. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of weird thinking and a lot of weird beliefs, and the belief in infinite growth is alive and well amongst the psyches of people there. But this isn't really the main part of the topic. Microsoft is a company that sells the cloud. They sell Azure Cloud. And you would think that at this point in time, being that it's 2019, and the cloud product was an interview issue in 2014 when I moved to Indianapolis, so gee whiz, that's a flyover state. Yeah, so the cloud's been around for at least a millisecond or two. And in technology years, it's been around a long time. But based upon my recent experiences with the cloud internally at the company that makes the cloud of which I now speak, I can tell you that it's pretty fucked. It's probably not stable. And I sure as shit wouldn't keep anything important in it. Now, even that isn't the main point of this topic. This first topic is titled, "It Can't Fail Once." And the reason why I'm fucking off on the Microsoft rant, and the reason why I'm probably going to have a little conversation about riding on the metro here next, is because there are things in our society, like, for example, ordering a croissant sandwich at the fucking cafeteria at the building I was at Microsoft campus. It was more or less, I would call it a 70-30 proposition. 70% of the time I got what I ordered, 30% of the time it tasted nasty and I had to throw it away. Now you might say, "Dan, those odds are for shit," and I gotta tell you, they're not great. But this is the reality of things these days, folks. If you're lucky enough that everything in your life works and you never have failures and shit never gets delivered wrong and the electricity never goes out for you and your phone never hits a blackout zone, if you're like one of these special, magical, special people for which society constantly never fails, Fucking A. I don't know what magical wonderland you're living in, but hey, that must be great someplace wherever the fuck you are. But for the rest of us in the real world, shit is failing all the time. The problem is, you know, there are things that are not like ordering bacon and eggs. There are things that are like not like ordering a breakfast sandwich. There are things that are even not like the fucking cloud or software or even your fucking phone. There are things in America today, to be specific, there are 99 of them. And let me bring up the map because it'll put me in focus. There are 99 nuclear reactors, commercial nuclear reactors, according to the article I'm reading, nationwide in the U.S. The vast majority of these are on the East Coast or towards the East, which means the eastern half of the country. Not necessarily the East Coast, but the eastern half of the country. And yes, that's where all the population is, so that kind of makes sense. A huge portion of these are boiling water reactors. The others are pressurized water reactors. But the bottom line is this, folks. When it comes to a nuclear reactor, there is one particular thing that can never fail, and that's the control rod array. And I've talked about this in podcasts before, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, nor do I want to give a half-ass exposition on the use of fission nuclear power to generate electricity. As Einstein once said, it's a hell of a way to boil water. But the bottom line is this. There are many things that can fail in a nuclear power plant. For example, a water pump can fail as long as you have a replacement. Your auxiliary or backup power generation can fail as long as you have a backup to that. So that's the deal, folks. There are things in nuclear power plants that have backups that can fail. There is no backup for your control rods if they melt. There isn't. Period. End of story. That is the one part of a boiling water reactor that can never fail. And you need to keep in mind, folks, that I'm constantly told about all the smart people and how much smarter we are and how much smarter technology's made us. But I gotta be honest with you, folks, I think that's total bullshit. And the opposite might be true. We might actually be dumber. Like, quite literally, the next generation of nuclear engineers, except for a few, like one family member who's studying that eldritch art someplace for the Crocodile King, but other than a family member who I can vouch for, I'm fairly certain most of these people are not necessarily competent. They're probably on the same fucking bell curve, skiing downhill, like most of the quote-unquote software engineers I run into at places like Microsoft. These are the people making sure that a device that has a component that can never fail, never fails. And you need to understand all this in the following context as well. Boiling water reactors, for the most part, take advantage of ambient heat exchange. Now, what does that mean? It means that if I pump water from, let's say, a lake that's cool, it's going to take some of the heat as we pump it through the reactor away from the reactor. But that's assuming that the water I'm pumping is cool. If the water's warmer, the efficiency of that heat exchange reduces. Yeah, I hate to break it to you folks, but the water is warmer than it used to be in a lot of places where these nuclear power plants are operating. There are so many things in our society that can fail. What the Japanese people learned during Fukushima is that there are some things that we can't allow to ever fail once. You know, Fukushima didn't have to happen. There were several things that did go wrong, including the fact that TEPCO, a General Electric company, lobbied the Japanese government years before the Fukushima disaster to lower the standards for tsunami walls. Oh, wow, that was smart. That was one thing that went wrong, and that was policy decision by cronies, by crookeds, by crocodile kings, by the people who think they run the world, but really they're running it into the fucking ground. The other thing that went wrong is their ability to have a backup water pump, a backup generation. They didn't have that. It got knocked out. So what they literally needed was a backup for their backup. And they couldn't get that equipment to them to Fukushima in time. Basically, it was a race against time. And this is what you guys need to know, folks. Once water pumps break down, once the ability to circulate coolant, forget water, just think coolant. Once your ability to circulate coolant breaks down, a meltdown in a reactor, even if the control rods are fully inserted, is inevitable. The reactor will simply get hotter over time. The control rods will simply degrade. It is a terrible feedback, and the final outcome is a meltdown. And it's not something, you know, in the movies and the TV shows, they'll try to tell you that these reactors won't melt down for 100 years. That's a load of shit. If we went into a state of social chaos, let's forget terrible Guy McPherson, Dane Wigington climate change scenarios. That's the end of the world. Let's ignore that for now. Just assume social economic collapse. Knowing what you know about the standard of behavior today, professionally, knowing about the level of competence, knowing that that will not get better, knowing that the stress level will not get better, that the ability to deliver critical components to the 99 nuclear reactors will not improve, and then also knowing that these reactors are not that, you know, I mean, frankly, they're kind of clustered on the East Coast and on the east side of this country. So if one of these things cooks off, guess what? The ability to maintain the other ones gets more difficult because now you're dealing with evacuations. Oh, shit. That's called the daisy chain. If you understand that competence, technical competence, engineering competence today in 2019 isn't that great, what do you think it will be like in this other alternative reality? What do you think the competence level will be if we're only talking about social and economic collapse? If that's all we're talking about, do you think one of these reactors will cook off? I think at least one will, probably more than one. And if one cooks off in the wrong place at the wrong time, it will make the maintenance of the other reactors more difficult. Logistics in the U.S. today is tight. It's not loose. Yeah, you could say it's efficient, but efficiency means tight. That means a lot of stuff is not kept on hand in massive stockpiles. Only so much of most things are made. It's called just-in-time logistics, just-in-time manufacturing. And this has been the standard of most of the economic production for the world for a couple of decades now. So if you're thinking there's some magical warehouse where they keep backup power generators and backup water pumps for nuclear power plants, please think again. I don't want to beat this topic into the ground because I've discussed it before, but with Hurricane Dorian and the other interesting things happening right now around the world, I think it's worth mentioning and bringing up that, folks, it isn't simply the case that nuclear power is a toxic way to generate power. It isn't simply the case that it's dubious and probably, in real terms, not very profitable if you take out all the fucking government help. It's just the case that these things are catastrophically dangerous. And they are all virtually guaranteed to melt down unless they are formally mothballed. Unless you go through a process of formally decommissioning, and that means separating the fuel rods. And that process takes a while. And again, I just got to be honest, if shit falls apart, I really don't see people being all patient and disciplined about properly shutting down reactors. So yeah, I don't know. I gave you something happy to think about on this Thursday night. Tomorrow's Friday. For those of you going into work tomorrow who are not retired like me, that's an issue. But for me, I'm enjoying my retirement one slice at a time. My current iteration is going quite well. I'm kind of happy about it. I think I'm going to have one more topic this evening. My battery charge on my new recorder is getting low. I think that's a signal or a sign. I don't know. Yeah, so anyways, I was thinking about, well, I mean, I think I let you guys know that I got baptized a few weeks ago. What does that mean? I don't know what it means yet. I was baptized when I was a kid, basically, like for example, I was circumcised as a kid, and I'm not Jewish. Wow, that's great. I was circumcised as a kid. Guess what? That wasn't a choice. No one said, "Dan, would you like some of your splinctus cut off and turned into a fricassee?" No. But I was like barely even alive. And so, as a little baby, the only people that could protect me were my parents and the medical industrial complex. And the medical industrial complex loves to gather the foreskin of the goyim. Yeah, and I know that sounded a little bit anti-Semitic, but it's not. The bottom line is this: I think that kind of shit, circumcision, is wrong. It is child abuse, and the fact that we have a medical industrial complex that goes along with it and then collects the tissue for a fucking resale, yeah, I don't think that's fucking cool. I don't think that's okay. Anyways, I was baptized when I was a kid, but truly, again, like the circumcision, I have very little knowledge of it. I think I was 1 year old. I was baptized in the Roman Catholic Church, which means I was baptized by pagans. Yeah, I was baptized by pagans. That's how I feel about the Roman Catholic Church. Now, if you're a Catholic listening to me and you feel deeply offended, here's the deal. I think you should care about being a Christian. If you're a Christian, it's your own fucking business what church you attend. If that church happens to have a priest and that priest is a decent priest, then guess what? You're probably okay. But as far as the institution of the Catholic Church goes, as far as the Pope and the Rome and all that bullshit, it is literally bullshit. It is literally the zombie that rose up when the Western Roman Empire collapsed. So, yeah, you can have that Roman pagan bullshit. That being said, I was baptized a few weeks ago, and it's made me think about some stuff. It's also sort of been a bit shattering, unnerving. It coincided with some events that seemed really completely out of bounds. And I couldn't quite correlate. I had a friend in my life, and this friend is still going through a lot of pain. I can't talk about it much, but he's going through a lot of pain, and he's currently going through a breakup. And this is a guy who literally did Mr. Mom, homeschooled the kids, kept the family together. Yeah, maybe he wasn't perfect, but four kids in daycare. Ignore the fact that daycare sucks. Four kids in daycare is not cheap. So the reality is this: he did all these things to keep the family together, and then basically, when he's all used up and ready to be thrown away, he's thrown away. And there are a lot of men like that these days. I don't want to get off on that topic too deep, but there are a lot of men these days who are being dumped for the simple fact that they don't fit some computer-generated model of reality that is not even remotely close to what you see around you. I say this often, I'll say it again. It bears repeating, and so I'll repeat it. There are many things today that men and women think are priceless. They are, in fact, worthless. Your Facebook posts are worthless. The new clothes you want to buy, the new t-shirt that will make you all special according to your friends, that's worthless. The brand new car is worthless. The new smartphone is not only ironically named, it is worthless. There are things today that are in reality worthless. We just don't know it yet. There are things today that people do not value, like family. And when I say family, let me say traditional family, like a mom and a dad. There are things today like that that people consider worthless, that our culture tells us are worthless, that the globalist social justice warfare agenda of nihilistic anal rectitude says are worthless. But in reality, they're worth their weight in gold. Now, I'm going off on this tangent because I was thinking about Halloween, and I want to end the podcast talking a little bit about Halloween. Halloween is a pagan holiday, so I don't really want to say go out and celebrate it. I'm a Christian, okay? But I was thinking, here's an idea for Christians on Halloween. Get out of the whole trick-or-treat thing. There is no treat. If you're handing out candy bars, you're handing out diabetes. So get out of that fucking mindset. Erase that mindset. Get out of the mindset of dressing up like monsters. That's crazy. But what if you get your kids together and say, here's something tricky you can do. Come here, children. Yeah, so here's something you can do in lieu of tricking and treating. What if instead you pick something to do on Halloween that's kind? I know that sounds crazy, and it doesn't have to be one thing. It doesn't have to be only Halloween. But imagine you're one of these people that maybe doesn't think about it. And so what I'm telling you is use Halloween as an opportunity to specifically be kind to somebody, to specifically help someone, to specifically do something positive in your community, in your neighborhood. I don't know. I was thinking maybe on Halloween, that's the day I should go out and pick up garbage around where I live and start that as a pattern. I say that because by then it'll be cooler. Right now, it feels like we're being cooked alive. But anyways, yeah. So I guess before I close out this podcast, and I guess it's a bit on the short side, but we can all deal, I would ask you to consider the following. On Halloween, if you're a Christian, and even if you're not, but you're just somebody that gets sick of the commercial bullshit and the weird pagan angle, the whole thing, why don't you consider the possibility of convincing your kids to do something kind, something helpful? It can be at home, it can be in their community. I'm not saying go up to random people and put themselves in danger. That's not what I'm fucking talking about. But on Halloween, you can share scares, you can trade tricks, you can do something like that, or you could maybe do something kind. Anyways, it's Thursday. It's not Halloween, it's September, and I'm boiling alive because this podcast has gone on too long and I need to open the window. So I hope you guys have a great evening, and yeah, knock it out of the park with that presentation tomorrow. You know who you are. You know about that presentation. It's on the new food additive for your special cubic sauces and your bio slurry. Yeah, have a great evening.